looking at me. Aren't I pretty? Just joking. No. Thank you all so much for being here. But I do want to share with you about where you're looking. If you could turn in your Bible, I'm not going to have all the scriptures up on the screen this morning, but if you could turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read this first part out of the Message translation, and I do have this up on the screen, that Genesis 12, verse number 1, and the Message said, God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you. I will make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those you bless, and I'll curse you. Excuse me. I know it doesn't say that. And those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left just as God said. Notice what it says there in verse number 1. God told Abram in verse number 4, so Abram did just as God said. That's important right there, right? God told him, Abraham did it, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot with him, along with all the possessions and the people they had gotten in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan and arrived safe and sound. God is asking of Abram here, isn't he? He's saying, hey, pick up everything. Everything you've ever known. Leave your mama. Leave everybody behind. You're going. And Abram said, wait a minute, God, I got some things to do. You know, I got a bun in the oven and this and that. But God said, hey, I'm telling you to go, but as you go, know that I'm making you a great nation. And the way the Message says is, I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. So a lot of people, when they see that I'll make you famous, they're seeking the famous part, right? But Abram wasn't seeking the famous part. He was seeking to do what God told him to do. And because he was doing what God told him to do, he'll make him famous. All the promises in return. He left his family. He left all the possessions. You know, when Don and I had the opportunity to move out here so many years ago in September of 13, we decided to leave it all. It was a hard decision to make, but it was a decision we chose and we felt led to make. And as we made those choices and put our house on the market, God blessed us in return. Because we chose to obey, the first person that walked in our house bought it. You know, how often does that happen? Well, in today's market, that might be more common. But back then, that wasn't during this time. You know, that was when it was a buyer's market. Brother Keith Moore, he mentioned, we are not to be led by opportunities. We are not to be led by needs. We are not to be led by pressure. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God only. There's a lot of things going on in the world that's going to pressure us and push us to choose what decision we need to make. Abram said, God told Abram, so Abram left just as God said. Not because, you know, I got you may be getting notices in your mail about your taxes on your houses have skyrocketed, or the tax value, excuse me, of your home. Don't be led by choices. Hey, we need to make sure we're listening and following what God's telling us to do. Let's continue here in Genesis chapter 13. I don't have all the scriptures here, but if you could follow along in your Bible. Verse number 1 in Genesis 13. So then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Verse number 5, Lot also who went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Have you ever been on a trip with some people that you love a lot, like a missions trip? We're family. And 2 weeks later, like, I can't stand this person. I got to get away from this person. So these people love each other, but, you know, too much together time is might be a little bit, you know, we all learned that last year during the COVID time, you know, too much together time. Everyone needs a little bit of a separation, right? So verse number 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. I'll take the left, and then if you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Verse number 10, and I have this up on the screen. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the Garden of Eden, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Verse number 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So Lot lifted his eyes and he saw some good lush land. He said, hey, that looks good. And so he went there, and then he saw Sodom. He's like, hey, that looks even better. And he kept getting closer and closer to Sodom. Verse number 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot has separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width, for I give it to you. Lot looked around. He saw what he wanted to see. Abram looked around, and he saw what God is giving him. He saw the blessings that God had provided him. God even said, rise and walk it, physically walk through this land and see all the things that I'm giving to you. We need to make sure that we're lifting our eyes up. And we're not looking at the struggle, we're not looking at the strife, but we're lifting up our eyes and we're seeing the promises and the things that God's providing us. So I'm asking you, my friends, where are you looking? During a time of decision, during a time of struggle, I like to say, when you're in the pickle barrel, where are you looking? When you're having a pickle going on, where are we looking at? What are we doing? What's our eyes and our focusing on? Lot looked up and saw this well-watered plain. It looked good, but Abraham looked up and he saw for all the land that God was giving him. He saw that land. You know, sometimes it's not where we think it is. Sometimes it's not. Have you ever tried to make it happen for yourself? God, I know that you're going to provide this for me because I know Julie's going to write me a $1,000 check. And I thank you, God, that as I go through this, Grandma is putting that check in the mail today. And sometimes it's not where we think. Sometimes I'm not saying you are here in church, you're holy, I see your halos. But we need to make sure we're not looking to the people. We're not looking to other people for our source. People are not our source. People are not our source of happiness. People are not our source of joy. People are not our source of dependency. We need to make sure we're looking to God, not to people. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, and I have it in the King James and the New Living. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The New Living says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. The Lord takes such pleasure in giving us happiness and joy and peace and comfort and a place. But it's not our thoughts, it's His thoughts. Isn't it good that His ways are higher than our ways? You ever went through something and you're trying to figure it out and you're praying it and God gives you the answer and it's like, oh, that's so much better. Thank you, Jesus. He has a plan for us that's so much more, is this English, so much more better than we could ever ask or think. He has a plan that's so much greater than anything that we could ever think of. Think of some people in the Bible that it wasn't going the way they were thinking, and things changed in their life. Moses was very comfortable sleeping with the sheep in the wilderness, wasn't he? But God needed a deliverer for His people. Moses made a change. Jonah was very comfortable preaching to the people that he wanted to preach to, wasn't he? But the people in Nineveh needed to hear. Nehemiah was very comfortable being the king's cupbearer, but the walls of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. Peter was very comfortable just being a fisherman, but Jesus saw another purpose for his life. Paul was very comfortable as a Pharisee, but God needed a great church planner. And when Jesus went to the cross, it appeared that his entire mission had ended in utter disaster, and the world thought he had failed. Two of his disciples even expressed their disappointment and disillusionment. Their hopes had been dashed, and they thought that Jesus was dead. But God said, it's not what you think. My ways are higher than your ways. The living Jesus revealed himself, and then they realized that their hope had not been in vain. His ways are so much higher than our ways. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, all that we can ask or think. The Passion says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve in infinitely more than your greatest request and your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Isn't that good? More than you can ever ask or think, He wants to bless you. When things shake us in life, sometimes our focus stays on those things and not what He wants to do and not the testimony that He wants to have for you through this situation. And of course, this will lead me to a space story. Now, if you don't hear me on Wednesday nights, I like to include a space story, so indulge me for a moment. I love space history. One of the things I study and I think about during the daytime when I'm not listening to other things. I want to talk about Apollo 13 mission where Fred Hayes, Jim Lovell, and Jack Swigert was flying off to the moon, and their spaceship had a little bit of an issue. On the left here, you'll see what the service module is supposed to look like, and on the right here is what happened during the space mission. One of their oxygen tanks ruptured and blew out the entire two of the energy sources that they had on the spaceship, including a lot of their oxygen. Now, this was an issue because they were in between the Earth and the moon on their way to the moon. And sometimes in space, it's hard just to do a U-turn and come right back. Have you ever forgot something at home and you did a quick U-turn and come right back? Well, they couldn't just do a quick U-turn. They were on an orbit. Now, in Apollo 11, Apollo 10, Apollo 8, Apollo 10, Apollo 11, and Apollo 12, they took an orbit that it, when they went to the moon, if they did nothing, it would bring them back to Earth. That's fun, right? Apollo 13, they decided to do something different. We want to go see somewhere else differently on the moon. So they did a different orbit. So if they went to the moon and did nothing, their orbit would send them out around the sun. That wasn't a good thing. So they needed to change their orbit. Well, in order to change their orbit to a free return trajectory, if you want the terminology there, they needed to make a course adjustment. They needed to turn their engine on. They were using their lunar lander as a lifeboat. They needed to turn their engine on and make a course adjustment. Now, I kind of photoshopped this little image here. all the oxygen and all the things leaking out of the spacecraft, the way the, because the computer wasn't working the way it was, they had to do, remember, some of you older people may remember, when you're sailing on the ocean, you had to use a sextant to look through the sky, like a little telescope. You're doing the angle of the stars to the point that you're looking on the horizon. And so they were using a sextant on this spacecraft instead of a computer to calculate their trajectory. Well, they had all this cloud of debris surrounding the spacecraft, and they didn't know what they were looking at. When you're looking out the window, you didn't see stars. You saw thousands of false stars. You saw parts of the spacecraft. You saw frozen ice particles. Even when they dumped over their waste particles, it turned into a stream of ice that they didn't need there. It was a cloud of false stars. Let me read what he actually said here. When Lovell looked out his window and saw the stars, he needed to make the alignment. However, he saw thousands of bright, glowing false stars because of the debris surrounding the spacecraft. Finding the stars he was looking for was almost impossible. Commander Lovell and his crew couldn't discern the stars from the particles that glimmered in the sunlight. So, how did they fix this issue? There was one star they knew they could see, our sun. And so they told the computer, hey, I think the star that I need is here, and I think the other star I need is here. You prove that to me by pointing the telescope at the sun. And we're going to focus on the sun, and if it lines up on the sun, then we know we're going the right direction. And that's exactly what happened. Then when they turned the alignment telescope on, it was within a half a degree of being on the right course by focusing on the sun. Now, I ask you this as a relation to this story. What are we focusing on? Are we focused on the thousands of false stars that are floating around us? And in this case, they were focusing on literally the sun, the S-U-N. But are we focusing on the sun, the S-O-N, instead of all the issues going on? Are we focusing on the source of energy and light and life for us? Or are we focusing on thousands of the issues floating around us right now? Some of you may have things that going on in your life that I will never understand, and it's hard for me to understand, but he knows what you're going through. He knows the hard things that are going on. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess in our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. Are we focusing on the Son, Jesus? Are we focusing on those promises? Are we holding fast to those promises that he's promised for us? Or are we focusing on the issue and the distraction? We need to make sure we're not making the issue and the distraction bigger than the Son. Amen? As we hold fast to his confession, there's two types of faithfulness, of knowledge of his faithfulness. His promises. We know our faith is based upon two types of knowledge, of his promises, knowledge as to what God has said in his word, and his reliability, the faithfulness of what God, faithfulness of God to us in the past. We know that we can trust him because we've seen it before. And we know that we can trust him because his word says that he's faithful and he can't deny who he is. The reliability of him who said it, he's faithful. That's who he is. I know that when I ask Thomas to help me with something, I can trust him to do it. He's proved himself faithful. And I know when I ask the Lord and I need help, hey, Lord, your word says this in your word. You are faithful to your word, and I thank you that you're going to do it, and he won't let you down. Because I'm focusing on his word and not on the issue. When I'm focusing on his word and not on the issue, have you ever seen Coke bottle glasses, you know, the really thick glasses? You ever heard the term, you're looking through rose-colored glass, you know, colored glass, and when you put the red glasses on, it makes everything look red. Put yellow glasses on, it makes everything look yellow. I want to use Joseph as an example in the Bible. You know, he had a hard time, didn't he? He got thrown in the pit. His brothers said he was dead, and got thrown in the prison, got accused of rape and all sorts of things. He didn't have a very good time. But when we focus on his story, when in Genesis 32, 37, verse number 2, he was only 17 years old when it started. And in Genesis 41, 46, he was 30 years old when he's in second command of the entire nation. That 13 years, and then from 30 years old to when he died when he's 110 years old, that 13 years of heartache is sometimes where we get focused on in life. Lord, I'm going through this 13 years of heartache. But Joseph had 80 years of being in charge and living in the best of the land. 80 years where he said, pick it up, and someone picked it up. 80 years where he said, build my house there, and someone built his house there. That's where God wants us to live at. He wants us to live and keep our perspective on what he's done for us, and not on the 13 years of heartache, not on the cloud of debris surrounding us, not on the issues going on, but we're focusing on him. And you might be saying, well, I'm not ready to focus on anything. I can only think of what's going on in my life. I love the quote from Mack Hammond. He said, if you're experiencing fear and dismay of the thought of tomorrow, you're not in a place of strength and courage. That means you've not spent the time yet speaking, meditating, and proclaiming the word. You are not prepared as long as you feel fear and dismay about tomorrow. So if you're feeling fear and dismay about tomorrow, he has a plan for you. But you have to find it. And you find that by meditating, speaking, meditating, proclaiming the word, speaking and praying in the Spirit, getting before him and finding his word first, focusing on the Son and not on all the issues. He has a way for you. He has provided a way out for you. When you pray for wisdom and guidance, he shows you the blessings. He doesn't show you the pits along the way because he's already graced you the ability to get through the pits. He's already provided a way of escape for you. He's provided victory through Jesus, a way through all the false stars and straight to the place where we're supposed to go. Ephesians 1, verse number 3 and 8 and 9 in the Message says, long before we laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He thought of everything. What did he think of? Everything. He provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He has provided us the plans. He has provided us everything. You might be saying, I don't see everything. He's provided it for you. He wants you to have it. You have to take it. You have to take it. He's graced you to get through all these pits. Don't get stuck in the pit. Don't get stuck in the pit perspective. Even though there was a pit, there was Reuben in Joseph's life. Even when your father and mother forsake you, the Lord will be there to help you. Even though someone may have done you wrong, he's there to bless you and give you more than enough. Even though you might be feeling sick in your body, he sees you as well. And he wants you to say, let the sick say I am well. Let the poor say I am rich. Even though you might have a financial need, he sees you as rich. It's not what we think all the time. It's what his word says. It's what he wants us to have in our life. We need to make sure we're keeping our focus on him and not get stuck in the pit. To not stay in the pit any. You know, sometimes we dig the pit even deeper. Anybody ever dug the pit any deeper? I've done this before. Has anyone actually prayed for a time machine that you could go back in time and do it over? Am I the only one? Okay. Did someone say no? You've actually prayed that? Amazed. But don't stay in the pit any longer than you want to. Don't find an easy chair down there and start drinking tea while you're down there. Brother Kenneth Hagin said, we're not on barely get along. We are not barely get along church members. We are not living at the end of the block on struggling to get to Heaven Street next to Grumble Alley. That's not for us. We are new creatures created by God in Christ Jesus with the very life and nature of God in our spirits. We are children of God, sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's who you are. We don't need to be going aloft saying, I'm the pit person. Look at me, everybody, I'm not worthy. No, you are the heirs of God, the sons of God. You know, when in the Bible, when they adopted children into the family, the adopted child had more rights than even the birthright children did. We are heirs and sons of children of God. That's our perspective. But where are we looking at? Are we looking at the cloud of dust, the particles around us, or are we looking at Him? Are we looking at the false stars? Are we looking back towards Sodom, which is not His plan? If we keep looking towards Sodom like Lot did, then we'll only see the bad. We'll only see the sad. We'll get angry. We'll get bitter. You know any bitter people in your life? I'm not naming names. When you're looking towards Sodom, you only see the problem. When you're looking towards Sodom, you only focus on what the devil wants you to see. Remember, he wants you to be distracted. He wants you to get your eyes off the Word so you stay in the pit longer, you pit your feet up, and you have a pity party in the pit. We need to make a t-shirt. I don't want to have a pity party in the pit. Can we say that 5 times really fast? But where are you looking? Are we looking at the sun? Are we looking at what He's provided for us, the way of escape? We must change what we're looking at. One of the recurrent themes of the Scripture has to do with where our eyes are focused at. The world is providing plenty of things for us to look at. We need to make sure that we're looking at what God wants us to see. In Isaiah 45:22, look to me, be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. The voice says, so turn your back on those idols your face. Turn your back on those idols and your face to me. I will save you wherever you are. John 4:35 says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The passion of that verse says, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. The Living says, so we don't look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward. Are we looking forward? Are we looking toward Him and His Word? Are we focusing on the issue? Now, there's sometimes when things are going on in your body, the symptoms. I'm not saying to deny the symptom. If you're feeling bad, by all means, go to the doctor, get the medicine. But as you're going through that, believe God that you're well. Believe God He's providing healing in your body. As you're doing the prescription and doing whatever the doctor's prescribed, Father, I thank you that I'm well, and we're not focusing on my issue. And everybody you go up to say, well, my bursitis, I don't even know what bursitis is that a word? My bursitis, my heelan-jocker, or whatever I'm going to say, this thingamajoggy, this is my thingamajoggy, and I'm going to take it, look at my thingamajoggy, you know, I'm carrying this thing, I'm caught on my thingamajoggy. No, I'm focusing on, Father, I thank you my body's well. I thank you that this thing majority's well. I thank you that I'm well in my body. My hands are well. My body's well. I'm strong. Those are the words coming out of my mouth. Right. Now, I'm not focusing on the issue. I'm not saying don't deny, you know, we have to be real. But let's focus on what His Word says. when we're standing in faith on the issue and not claiming that issue as ours. This is my issue. You're not going to have it. Thank the devil I have it. Thank the devil. No. We don't want that. I'm well in my body. I'm whole in my body. In Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking to Him. We're looking to His blessed hope and glorious appearing. We're looking for Him. I'm not looking for the issue. I'm looking for Him. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, I'm looking to you. Jesus, I'm looking for you to find this place for me. Jesus, I'm looking for you for that direction. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The voice says, now stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. Where are we looking at? Are we staying focused on Jesus? Are we looking at all the issues and all the things going around us? Are we looking at the trouble, the pain, the issue? Am I looking at the person who hurt me all the time? Am I looking at the thing going on? Lift up your eyes now from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which I give to you in your descendants forever. You lift up your eyes. Jesus, I lift up my eyes and I see what you've accomplished for me. Jesus, I lift up my eyes and I see the pain and the purpose and the pursuit that you, the things that you've accomplished for me. I thank you that I am well in my body. I thank you that I'm whole in my body. I thank you that I have blessings pouring out over my life. I thank you that I have direction. I thank you that the crooked places are made straight. I thank you that the rough places are made smooth. I thank you that I have more than enough. I thank you that as I stumble, you pull me out of the miry clay and set my foot upon the rock. I thank you that when I fall in the pit, you drop down in there and you pull me out of there. I thank you that as I foot sinks into the water, you pull me up and I walk along with you. I thank you that I have direction in my life. I thank you that I have understanding in my life. I thank you that I have more than enough in my life as I stay focused on you. You are my direction. You are my pinpoint star that I'm looking for. You are my direction. You are the source that I'm looking for. Amen. 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 Thomas, did you have anything you wanted to sing? Did you? Thomas wants to sing. Amen. Praise God.
You may know the song. You may not. If you do, sing along. If you don't, sing along. You can stand up too.
Greater, my Father is greater than. Here. He's greater than poverty. He's greater than lack. He's greater than any financial attack. My Father will always supply all my needs. My Father is greater than these. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all. He is greater, greater. My Father is greater than all.
Father, we thank you that you're greater than all, Father. Father, you're more than enough. You're greater than all the issues going on in our life. You're greater than all the struggle. You're greater than all the pain. You're greater than the lack. You're greater than the issues. You're greater than all the turmoil. You're greater than the depression. You're greater than the turmoil. We just thank you, Father. We thank you that you're more than enough in our life. We thank you that you're more than enough in our life. We thank you, Jesus. We're lifting up our eyes and we see you. Even though there might be this issue, we see you. Even though there might be lack, we see more than enough. Even though there might be sickness, we see ourselves as well. Even though we might be weak, we see ourselves as strong and we say we're strong. Even though there might be a strife in this area, we see peace. We see comfort. We see victory. We see joy in our life. We see more than enough, and we thank you. We thank you right now. We thank you that it's done. We thank you. We call it so in Jesus' name. You are greater, 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 and we thank you, Father. And if there's anybody in this place that hasn't been doing that, right now is your opportunity to make a change. Make a change in your life. Make a change in your speaking. Make a change in your thinking. Make a change in your heart. Jesus, I choose to focus on you. Jesus, you are more than enough. You are greater. You are greater. And we thank you. Forgive me. Forgive me for focusing on the issue. Forgive me for focusing on the anger, the bitterness, the sadness. Forgive me for focusing on my pain. Forgive me for focusing on what they did. Forgive me for focusing on what the devil is placing before me, and I choose to focus on what your word says first. And I thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Jesus, thank you for providing that way of escape. Jesus, thank you for providing more than enough in my life. And we thank you, Jesus. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. If you're listening, and if you're in this place today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you can have that same source of strength. You can have that same avenue of victory and happiness and wholeness by asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I thank you. I take you as my Lord and Savior right now. And I thank you that I believe that you died on the cross for me to be saved. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that simple. And Jesus, thank you for providing for that. Even though there might be turmoil, we see you, Jesus. We see you, Father. We're keeping our eyes focused on you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thomas, will you sing that as we dismiss today? And then as you're going, don't forget there's some ball tickets left over back there. There's 5 tickets left. Please sign up for those. And please, but can you continue to pray for Julie's family, Jim Dalton and Gerald back there, and amen. You're dismissed. Be blessed. Amen.